Happy Friday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. You guys can follow me at RickAlexander_ on Instagram if you want to connect or talk about the show. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you would share it with your following, or really with anybody that you think that the message might resonate with. I'm always trying to find the sort of what I would consider to be the underside of life, right? Like everything, all the situations in which we find ourselves, we're presented with a certain scenario, and you can learn something about it by looking at what you find. And then there's also a backside. It's like there's always a back to the tapestry. There's always other things going on. Life tends to present to us like an iceberg, and the complexity and the nuance is always hidden below the surface. And so a lot of what I like to do on here is really just looking for that complexity and looking for that nuance and trying to make sense of it so that we can make sense of whatever this life means to us or whatever we want it to mean to us. So today I came across a script as I was kind of cleaning out my Google Drive folder, where I have the remnants of old articles that I've written and essays and books that I've written actually on there and never published. And I found the script from an episode that I had put on the last channel. I wrote this right as I had finished riding my bike from Maine to North Carolina in the middle of winter, unsupported and also unprepared. I like literally showed up with almost nothing, got my bike, which I had left back home at my house in Maine. So I get a one-way ticket, I fly to Maine, get my bike out of the storage, I clean it up, I go buy tires because the tires were flat and stuff, get it going, and then I literally just put all of my stuff in my backpack and I ride it back to North Carolina where I came from. And on the back side of that adventure, I learned a lot about the way that we approach life and the way that I had been approaching life. And one of the things that I've been experimenting with my work over the last year or two, though I haven't published all of it, it's definitely come out in my work, is this idea that we can take different conceptual models for life. We can look at life in different ways, and it will tell us different things based on the mental construct that we apply to it. So you can, for example, you could look at life as, let's say, an arena, right? You could look at life as a teacher, where it's always teaching you something that you need to know in order to, for continual transcendence, kind of like I talked about in the heartbreak episode. And so you see the remnants of where I've learned to approach life as a teacher coming through in a lot of my content. Well, another mental construct that makes a lot of sense to me is to approach life as if it were an adventure. And so this script is talking about what it means to approach life as an adventure, because for most of my life, like, I've set goals and I've done, you know, whatever I could in order to accomplish them. Think about the Western mind and how we think about all of the things that I've talked about this week on the show, how we tend to put our identity in things and we tend to hustle. And so this head-down approach to life, it caused a bit of collateral damage along the way. I mean, it worked out mostly, right? Of course, when progress is your absolute goal, people tend to get hurt, and you've got to be careful because there's always shadows to ambition. But somewhere along the way, I found the personal development industry, and I like really committed myself to doing what I had to do in order to get what I wanted. So I adopted the habits and I pushed my growth and I stayed uncomfortable in the pursuit of what I wanted. And so I was like learning all of these things. And again, like, it's worked a lot. But the only problem was that every time I got what I wanted, I either came to the conclusion that I didn't really want it, like it wasn't what I thought it would be, or it didn't provide the feeling that I imagined it would provide. And so for a decade of trying earnestly, what I found that I got was like relationships that I wasn't really that committed to or entertained by, jobs that I put my hope in but would eventually let me down as I realized that day to day never really measured up to the glamour of what I thought it would be. I think probably in the military, a lot of people have felt that before. You get to finish lines and then you miss the moments that actually like led up to them. I remember the first year I ran a 200-mile race. The second year I decided to do a different event, so I wasn't running that 200-mile race. And I remember just watching the updates on Instagram, like realizing, man, it had nothing to do with the belt buckle that I got from this thing. It was all about the things that you learn along the way when you're unprepared and when you're vulnerable to life and you've just got to figure it out. So as I was sort of unsure why my own desires for life seemed to send me in circles or fall so flat, I would look around for answers. And for one reason or another, I always felt like the answer was more it was always no one cares, work harder. You know, it's like that's a narrative that I replayed in my head over and over. And in that spirit, I just did more. I accomplished more. I got to more finish lines. I worked out harder. Remember one year I ran 12 ultra marathons in one summer, including two marathons, one of which was the Boston Marathon and then one of which was that 200 miler. And so I would just work more hours. You know, I did more of everything. I did the podcast 5 days a week. I did more of everything except sleep and enjoy myself, essentially. Now, I don't think that our culture, I don't think that's the only culture that, or I'm sorry, I don't think that's the only narrative that our culture pushes. But I do think it's one that you have to be aware of because you will definitely fall into the traps of it, especially at the beginning of your journey, right? Like, especially at the beginning, when you approach life as if it's something you can get better at, the first and loudest narratives that you're bound to hear do tend to be around hustle. But you know, the reason that all that glitters isn't gold and the grass isn't greener is because as humans, we don't really know what's gold and what's green. Like, we can't define it very well for ourselves. When we look out into the world, we create a picture of success in our minds, but that picture is only part of the story, always, right? Like, this is the iceberg of complexity and nuance that I'm talking about. And so we end up chasing these half-cooked solutions with all of our being, and the result is a noticeable feeling of lack. And you know, when you look out and create that picture of success, you know, you have to remind yourself that the abs on Instagram that we think of as an example of successful hard work could have easily been built off of self-loathing, right? And the Lamborghini could have easily been the final rental of a sinking credit score. And the relationship goals could have certainly been a snapshot of a moment in time. And one moment later, they could easily be right back to fighting about shit that neither of them care about but can't seem to let go of, right? Relationship goals aren't a picture, you know? But when you treat life as if it's somewhere to get, you find that you aren't very fond of that place once you arrive. So you're always looking for that place. So we think that what we want is to end with a sunset and this, you know, privileged horse. But the truth is, we'll hate it if we get it. You know, this is what I found. Given the chance, 9 out of 10 humans would tear apart the postcard scene that they are working toward just so that something interesting would happen. And this isn't out of malice, I don't think, although most of us do have a healthy dose of that that we haven't necessarily addressed below the surface. And actually, there's a quote by Fyodor Dostoevsky that sums that up really well. He says, "Now I ask you, what can be expected of man since he is a being endowed with strange qualities? Shower upon him every earthly blessing, drown him in a sea of happiness so that nothing but bubbles of bliss can be seen on the surface. Give him economic prosperity, such that he should have nothing else to do but sleep, eat cake, and busy himself with the continuation of the species. And even then, out of sheer ingratitude, sheer spite, man would play you some nasty trick. He would even risk his cakes and would deliberately desire the most fatal rubbish, the most uneconomical absurdity, simply to introduce into all of this positive good sense his fatal, fantastic element. It is just his fantastic dreams, his vulgar folly, that he will desire to retain, simply in order to prove to himself, as though that were so necessary, that men still are men and not the keys of a piano, which the laws of nature threaten to control so completely that soon one will be able to desire nothing but by the calendar." Such an interesting quote, right? Because he says basically, like, listen, you could have everything in the world given to you and you would ruin it just so that something interesting would happen. And I think there's a cynical way to read that. And then there's the other way, which is, but maybe that utopia is just not what we're after. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe somewhere along the way, people started, you know, technology started to advance and consciousness started to expand and comfort started to advance. And so perhaps we began to think that this utopia was something that was actually possible for us. And so maybe, because I do think that Dostoevsky's quote is right, but perhaps we just don't want that to begin with. Like, that's never the goal of a good life, because if you were to be given that, you know, you'd find in 2-3 months you were pretty miserable. So I actually think it's because what we really want is a fantastic surprise. Like, we want an adventure where life reveals its hidden depth to us, and as a result, we become more than we ever could have imagined, more loving, more capable, more resilient, more of what we'll never be able to define but know that we are. We want to be astounded, and we want to meet someone along the way that is just as much of a mystery to us as we are to ourselves. And, you know, one of the reasons that I did that adventure on my bike, the reason I didn't really care about preparing, although I did regret that in the middle of a snowstorm somewhere right north of Virginia. The reason I like it is because when you put yourself into the unknown, inevitably something is going to demand that you have an expansion of self in order to meet it. And I know that there is like an almost no other way that your potential is going to come out of its hidden caverns without some sort of struggle to grow against. Because every ounce of us evolved for this. The right hemisphere of our mind works in concert with the left to drum up solutions that didn't previously exist. Our bodies carried our ancestors across the world on paths that didn't previously exist. And our capabilities developed as a byproduct of resolve. In the early years, our resolve wasn't tested by choice, but now we're in a situation where we actually do have to test it by choice. And of course, that was sort of the entire, you know, point behind my first book, Burn Your Couch. But it is interesting to think about the idea of where the brain hemispheres, like what they're actually for and what you can use them for, because they are for adventure, you know. And I think that the simple right, left, you know, analytical, creative side of the mind, that seems to be somewhat disproved, but you definitely do have both capabilities. And that creative side of the mind, it's built because you were constantly put in solutions where, I say built, but it evolved where because you're constantly put into solutions where you actually need to find something that's not there. You need to connect dots that aren't so straightforward, because we're a potent combination of wit and work capable of outlasting and outthinking the rest of the food chain. So we followed our own curiosity and used our own adaptable nature in order to find creative solutions that would allow us to eventually industrialize and hospitalize our world. But that means if we want to get the things that we evolved to do, we've got to go looking for them. Unfortunately, somewhere along the way, our ambition outpaced our wonder, and we decided that we knew what was best, not just for ourselves, but for the rest of the world as well. The fear mechanisms that we relied on for continued survival became bastardized as we pointed it toward the many metrics that we've equated with success today. And so what I would submit to you is that all of the best parts of your life came as a result of the unknown. Even when the unknown presented you with something absolutely terrible. So like we did this episode on Wednesday about heartbreak, right? It's like almost invariably, if you ask people at the end of their life, like what some of the most powerful moments in their life, or you don't even have to wait till the end, right? You just ask yourself right now, some of the most powerful shifts in your life, some of the most powerful shifts in consciousness, they always came on the back of something that you never would have chosen otherwise, something like heartbreak. And so what I love about adventure is it just opens you up to that great unknown, the thing that's got everything that has the possibilities of what you could be hidden in it. Often it is the opposite of what we wanted. The breakup or loss of a job that turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to us, the unanswered prayer that you know that you'd hate if you now had, and the surprise encounters that turned into lifelong friendships that are close to family as you could ask for. You know, these are what life is about. We're trying to control the adventure when in reality, that's the part we're here for. If we want to maximize this shot at life, we should put our emphasis for control on the adventurer and then just embrace the path. We often don't, because in order for the opportunity for a fantastic surprise, we also have to open ourselves up to its counterpart, a fantastic disaster. And fantastic used pejoratively, and disaster used to describe, well, a disaster. You know, this is life's price, and you have to be willing to pay it if you want the outcome to be better than you could have imagined. See, you're going to get what you want in this life. Your deepest desires will most likely manifest because you'll live them out. The problem isn't getting what you want. The problem is wanting what you get. Oftentimes, you have to let go of what you want in order to get what you could have. You also have to risk the occasional catastrophe. But I'd contend that those are going to come regardless of how you live your life. You know, that's the thing about this, is you can choose to approach that catastrophe on your own terms. You know, you can poke at disaster. Anxiety right now is higher than it's ever been. Affects 40 million adults in the United States and growing. Anxiety is fundamentally caused by the unknown. Due to our finite nature, there's an unknown element in life that will never go away. And so our rising anxiety isn't because there is more unknown now. It's because we've tricked ourselves into thinking that our lives are somehow controllable. What we need is a positive relationship with the unknown. And you know, the unfortunate part is another message I think comes across in our culture quite frequently is even if you're not in control, oh, you've got to seem it, right? You've got to seem like you have everything dialed up and controlled. And then below the surface of what everybody's seeing is nothing but anxiety, because you can't have control of everything in this life. And so again, I would implore you to increase your relationship with what you don't have control over instead of pretending to have control over it. Throughout history, we continuously observe that the unknown, while holding all of our greatest fears, is also our deliverance from a subpar life. It is only through continuously answering the call to adventure that heroes consistently redefine what we think of as possible. In fact, almost all of the world's belief systems and cultures today were created by pioneers that didn't seek to control the end, but rather decide to travel the noble path of the unknown. So in the Bible, all of Israel was created as a result of Abraham, who was like 80 years old, answering his call to leave the town that he knew. And God told him to just bounce, like pick up a shit, bounce, have kids, and go start Israel. And so it was this like call to adventure that happens in the early part of the text. In the East, this Buddha did the exact same thing. The Buddha left his path of being a prince to pursue the meaning of life. He left all of the luxuries to wander the streets, effectively retiring from life, quote unquote, to use a culturally appropriate term. So basically he became what's called an ascetic, which is like where you live off as little as possible, you fast. He was basically living in the woods, living off one grain of rice per day. And that was like his very first call to adventure, because he was set up to be a prince. I know most of you know this story. But then he goes to live as an ascetic in the woods for a super long time. And he was actually just about like a, you know, an ounce from death. And he had the realization that like this wasn't it. Like he had lived this prosperity life as a prince, and now he was living this ascetic life, all retired from life, essentially living off the bare minimum possible. And right before, you know, he's right on death's doorstep, and he has a realization that like I don't mind dying, but I don't think I found what I'm looking for. He actually takes a bowl of rice from somebody. All of the ascetics around him are all disappointed in him, you know. But he goes and he starts Buddhist, which is the middle way. You know, Buddhism is considered the middle way, and it's because he went on these adventures of every single possible way. I grew up idolizing Huck Finn because Mark Twain knew that courage and curiosity were the makings of a good life, not control and safety. And I just remember being, you know, inspired by that text when I was too young to even know what any of this was for. And the point is, we tend to live our lives today in a way that stamp out all of the parts that make it worth it. We've created a risk-averse culture that, to borrow a line from my newest book, tremble at the thought of their own dreams. We spend our days architecting our future and controlling every possible downside. And as a result, we lose track of any upside. So set your aim, establish your goals, but then learn to hang on loosely. You know, it could be that you're meant for more than you can conceive with your limited knowledge and growing fears. So you got to learn to let life live through you just as much as you live life, so that you might open yourself to the possibility of what else might be true. And I would say, out of all of the arguments that I make for living an adventurous life, or just approaching your life as if it's adventurous, or just injecting more adventure into your life, is because you have a very limited set of experiences. And so if you craft your future based on your limited set of experiences, there's only so much possible that you can dream of, that you can conceive of. Right? And so by opening yourself up to the unknown, you open yourself to the possibility of getting a life that's better than you could have imagined. And that's the point, because with finite minds, we can't imagine all that we're actually headed for. So look, I say all of this because, you know, we're headed into the weekend. There's always an opportunity to inject more adventure into your life, more passion, more unknown. And if you think back, like all of the stories worth remembering, they did not happen because of bubble wrap. They did not happen because of air-conditioned offices. They happened because in some way you were able to open yourself up to the unknown, something that you couldn't have imagined transpired. And as it turned out, you were more capable than you ever could have imagined to deal with it. And so that's kind of why I want to make a case for living your life as an adventure. Hope you guys have an amazing weekend. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee. We'll be right back.